and welcome to an episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Hope you're enjoying your week so far, ladies and gentlemen, because just as the recent Pokemon Special has announced it, as long as you keep your mind to it, you can achieve anything like a Badoo. Yes.
I'm going to go so off. I am going to go off. Anyway, also here is Tyler, who usually I go off on, but I will not tonight. I have a better target tonight.
I did not watch the Badoo thing, and I have no intention to. So good. I have nothing to add on that, besides the fact that I do not like Badoo, like 99% of the world.
All right, well, aside from Badoo bashing, ooh, there's a pastime, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, but of course we'll get all started off with what have you been playing? I'll go first. I've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, of course, and I did rather well on the Ascended Joshua banner. I got him and Naimi, the archer.
Okay.
And then I actually got it within a decent amount of orbs, and so I used the Forging Bonds free tickets to get for free, so then I just rounded it off and got the comb for my free summon. So that's 3 out of 4. That's not bad. I usually get one. And then when that legendary banner came back, and I'm like, I think I have Shamir or Catherine. No, I don't. I got neither. Both of which I married in one playthrough or another. I don't have any of my wives. It's sad. Okay. I'm just saying. But, and I really do love those characters. They're great. But, so joining that, I want to talk about one thing though. So last night, yesterday, was the beginning of the Grand Conquests.
Oh, yeah. That was news.
So I do the Forging Bonds and I go to Grand Conquest and there's an error. I'm like, oh no. And I have an old Dur phone. I've got like an Android 8 and or Motorola 8. And so I'm like, okay, maybe it's just my phone. So I shut it down, and I did like 2, 3, 4 times, and I just can't get in. And this has happened to me before. Sometimes an update doesn't go through, so usually I just wait the next day, and it's fine. And then I go on to Twitter today, and there's a whole post about, oh, we're sorry, we had this bug, and we have to delay the Grand Conquest. I don't think that's ever happened before.
Yeah, it has never happened at the entirety of Faye, and yeah, apparently it had to be the Fire Emblem Three Houses one with Edelgard, Claude, and Dimitri, which is one of the, like, of all the Grand Conquest ones, had to have bugged. It had to be this one.
And you have to admit, you know, because Heroes came out in 2018, so we're almost to their anniversary year right now. So that's 4 years of never having a bug like this. That's pretty impressive. But it makes you wonder, why now?
Maybe it's in the holiday season or something. But yes, apparently something happened during the programming of the Grand Conquest. So, but this is like very rare.
Yeah, so they delayed it. It'll be back up.
But hey, we get 10 orbs out of this. So yes, that would be.
Happy. Oh, we do.
We got 10.
We get 10 orbs.
A competition.
Oh, nice.
North competition.
See, game developers, that's how you treat your fans. When things go wrong, you give them free stuff instead of asking for microtransactions. Do you hear
Fire
me, EA?
Fire Emblem Heroes, though, is the last game to use as an example of consumer-friendly practices.
Okay, but no, I'll...
AKA 3-star Hana and 3-star Hanada.
Yeah.
That's congratulations.
Okay, but I know, but like I'll disagree with that on one thing, because not only do they unlike a lot of microtransaction games included, which is what, you know, Fire Emblem is, Heroes is, it's a gacha game. You can go through the entire game without making a purchase. I only made 2 purchases in my 4-year career, which that's funny saying. One was because I was just so sick of you guys getting all those 5-stars without me, so I decided to buy some orbs to get some for the Tellius heroes. And then another one because I really wanted to get another hero. But that's it. Every other time, I either just stockpiled orbs, I didn't do summons, I did all the extra orb events. They do like the anniversary events where they give you like extra orbs every day. They give you the option to not use microtransactions. It's just for like the dedicated people like you two were in year 1 and 2, where you were blood bleeding yourselves dry just to try and get all the characters. You can do this game without the microtransactions, whereas the other ones,
but
you're
you
almost...
can't do like... I mean, you... you have to get the skill inheritance. You can beat some of the crazy challenges with like very specific games with very specific skills. But if you want to beat like the hardest difficulties and climb the arena ranks, you have to spend money.
Like the max investment, the plus 10 merges. Like, yes, especially if you want to really dedicate your own hero. Like, for example, if you really want to invest your level 40 plus 10 Crom, like, which a lot of people have done, and then they have like, no, sacrifice everybody to give Crom these skills. It's just like, yeah, that like, there are that fans that are like heavily invested in like the merges and the skill inheritance. So
and there are always always be characters like that for like the casual fans, like how much do I need to put into it? I can play it. Well, again, I have not spent money on this game in years, and I still get enough characters because I don't try and like blast my orbs to get every single character. I'll try and get the ones I want, especially now with the 40 free summon, which we didn't have at the beginning. You know, imagine all the characters we would have if we had that at the beginning.
Right.
So,
at the Spark System in the beginning. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I just like this is a better, like, this is like nowhere near the level of like a Battlefront 2 or all these other games are like microtransactions. You have to get them, otherwise you can't level up your characters to fight in multiplayer. Like, I hate those games, but this one's like, oh, hey, we'll give you special login bonuses every single day, and we have these anniversary events, or, hey, we screwed up, here's 10 free orbs for you. That's great. I'll take that.
I mean, as we discussed in prior podcasts, like, yeah, Nintendo's mobile games, like, from Dragalia Lost to Fire Emblem, like, as far as concerned, those two are, like, definitely the successful Nintendo mobile games to date so far, just because they are very, quite generous, even if you just simply log in just for the day, just to collect it. That's what I do for Dragalia Lost, and, yeah, Fire Emblem Heroes it's generally the same thing, pretty much, so they're fairly generous.
Yeah, and then as I was joking about with Tyler right before the podcast, I've been enjoying Saints Row the Third. I've not been in a bad mood. I just had an hour to kill. Yeah, I made the joke again. And I did one of my favorite levels of all time. It's called http://deckers.die. We go into a digital world to defeat this computer hacker named Matt Miller.
Okay.
And just the look of it, the feel of it, the hilarity. You do a text-based adventure game.
Oh, yeah. I remember
it's
that.
So funny. And like, and the character is like, and the game is so like wink wink, like, hey, we're screwing with you. There's a point where it goes, yeah, it's so self-aware. It goes like, at one point it goes, there is a unicorn, what do you do? Look at the unicorn, pet the unicorn, kill the unicorn. So I just for fun, I picked look at the unicorn. Text goes, it's a unicorn. Well, no, duh, in much more profane language. And then I go, okay, so we got to pet the unicorn, and then the unicorn kills you, apparently. And character goes, well, there goes my childhood. And then of course, that means the only option is to kill the unicorn, and then the main goes, well, what does the author have against unicorns? And there's so many other shots at like the genre and everything.
It's so funny,
and like, I always say I look for the little things in TV shows and movies and video games to make me smile. This is exactly that. They did not need to do this. They could have done just basic shoot 'em up like they have in the rest of the game. But this one, they're like, no, let's just lean into the crazy insanity of video games and text-based adventures, which is what Matt Miller is a nerd of. And I'm like, yeah, let's try it. And it's so funny.
Yep.
Like you die in one instance because you trip over a rock while you're going down a hallway, and the main character yells, "I'm freaking nimble, dang it!" it's so good.
I mean, again, that's why I definitely appreciate the older Saint Row games, just because they have that wackiness and just like it didn't take itself too seriously. No. That's why I appreciate it. It's like very, very sort of 51 style kind of thing. It just doesn't give a dang about anything.
Saints Row the Third was their magnum opus, and then Saints Row 4 was fine. You know, there was some development stuff going on behind the scenes, and I'll be honest, based on what I've seen with this new Saints Row, I'm just not that interested. It looks like it's gonna be way too serious, and that's not what Saints Row is supposed to be. Yes, it has serious elements, characters die and you're trying to, you know, kill people and take over a city or three, but or be president of the United States, but when you take it too seriously, you become GTA, and the whole point was that Saints Row is not GTA. It's like the super fun version of GTA.
Yes.
You know? It was the original clone game. Like, there was no GTA clones until Saints Row came out, and then it just developed on its own path, and that's why it became so popular for a while. So I'm actually a little concerned with what I'm seeing from this new Saints Row game. But I don't know. It's not my game to make. But if they were to do another reboot, I guess, I already have an idea that I feel would be Saints Row-esque, but whatever. I'm misenjoying it, taking my time. And then I am only 2 weeks away from Pokemon Legends Arceus, which I am honestly very excited for. So.
Yeah, we'll definitely be talking about later on, but yes, yeah, will. Legend Arceus is just like, okay, Nintendo's definitely going all in for this first month game right now, so indeed. Yeah, we'll definitely see.
Alright, Will, how about you? What have you been playing?
Like you as well, like, I haven't continued on with the Fire Emblem Heroes, and I gotta say, like, the bonding events with these characters, including, especially with Joshua, is like, yeah, pretty good stuff. I mean, I haven't played, I'm not too familiar with Sacred Stones, but from what they described it in the Forging Bonds, it's pretty detailed. I appreciate it. And of course, that, as you said, without the Grand Conquest battle, problems with the glitch and all that. So yeah, I mean, heck, we get 10 orbs, and we get to play the Fire Emblem Three Houses Grand Conquest battle once again. So again, going down the line. And last I checked as well, they just recently released the event calendar, and I believe the next major new banner will be on the 16th. So either be tonight or tomorrow, we'll probably get the first trailer. So here's hoping we'll get new that. Aside from that, I'm taking a bit of a break from Shin Megami Tensei 5 for the time being right now, because I'm trying to work on something else. But I actually have started my playthrough of Nier Replicant and of Yokotaro fame. And I gotta say, I'm starting to get why people like Yokotaro stuff. Like, even in like the first few beginnings, like, Nier Replicant is definitely a dated game because it's back from the old PS3 games, but not this modern remake of Nier is just, yeah, the music, top notch. If you know Nier stuff, their music has always been very top notch, and the story of Nier Replicant so far is, yeah, definitely. Like, you know, there's that serious tone, and if you know Yokotaro, you already know, like, you can expect some heavy hitters down there. I'm still fairly early, but if the audience is familiar with Yokotaro, you know, like, okay, they're gonna build you up, and then they're gonna just have a bring you up a hammer of depression, just because of there is like some serious stuff. Because if you know these protagonists, you know these characters, then yeah, that. Yeah, even though they have noble intentions, they're not heroes. We're evil. We're human. We do bad stuff. And I just, again, the voice acting top notch. Liam O'Brien with a Grimoire voice is just, yeah, it's just absolutely hilarious. So yeah, Grimoire Noir, Grimoire voice is just great, great stuff. So if anybody has a chance to, I mean, now the game is pretty much on sale now on. So not full price. So if any chance to definitely get a chance to get a Nier Replicant, and of course if you haven't played the sequel to it, which is Nier Automata, which that it's only like $15 these days. So yeah, definitely try to get that as well. So I'm basically going through the Yokotaro phase right now, and just want to see why everybody reviews these games so much. So that's not right now. So but yeah, Nier Replicant is what I've been playing recently, as well as just on the side play a little bit of Fall Guys. So yep. That's what I've been playing for the most part.
I like it. It's a phase. It's a phase. It's a phase he's going through, Tyler. it's a phase he's going through. Oh, well. All right. Tyler, take it away.
I've been playing Shin Megami Tensei 5, picking up where Will left off. I got it for Christmas, and I finally have got around to playing it. And I love this game. It's the type of game that hardcore RPG fans just can't miss. But my most interesting takeaway from it, I think, is it kind of is a game that proves that you can't let like perfection get in the way of greatness. Because there are some flaws with this game in terms of design.
For sure.
Somehow don't totally hamper the experience. Like, for example, the difficulty in Shin Megami Tensei games is always high. But part of it is kind of artificial, because you will have these boss encounters, and before you encounter the boss, you won't know what their strengths or weaknesses are, and you don't really have time to prepare for it. So if you come in with the wrong party, you can get absolutely washed in like 2 seconds, game over. And if you forgot to save, you're going a long way back, which if that happened to me, I would be annoyed. And honestly, it probably will. But if you do remember to save, for some reason, getting wiped out like that in a totally cheap and unfair way, it almost enhances the experience for me. Like, I have a fun time jumping back in and trying to say, okay, now with the knowledge that I've gained from this last run, like, what can counter this boss's strategy? And it requires thought, it requires effort, it requires grinding in some cases. The very first boss of the game.
The Hydra.
Yes, the Hydra. I think that the Hydra had an ice weakness and fire strength. And my team had two of my characters were weak to fire. And it just shot me one time with fire breath and my whole team got wiped and I got a game over. And I didn't have any demon who could resist fire in my arsenal. So I had to go back, find a different demon with fire resistance, train them up, and then come back to it. Which kind of sounds like a pain in the ass, but it's not. It was a really kind of a fun experience. I got to explore the world more. I got to see some nooks that I didn't find previously. I actually found a side quest that I missed. Like, it should be irritating, but in this case, I find the grind to be really satisfying. And I think that's just because the gameplay beyond that is so solid. The systems are easy to understand. They're complex enough for the appropriate amount of strategy, but they're simple enough that you can kind of just pick up the game and understand, okay, hitting the enemy weakness gives me an extra attack. If they hit mine, they get an extra attack. I want to make sure my team is diverse. I want to make sure that, you know, there's not, like, my team had that glaring fire weakness. I learned after that, okay, I got to think, if I got somebody weak to fire, I better have somebody else who can block it. Because in that case, you know, at those massive team attacks that the enemies will put on aren't going to wipe me out. I'm not going to lose in one shot. So it's a school of hard knocks. But I find the combat to be as fun as ever. I'm still very early in the game. Like I said, I'm barely past the first boss. And the story has yet to fully hook me, but I know what I'm getting into with Shin Megami Tensei games. These stories are always fun. They're always grand in scale and philosophical. They make you kind of think about moral conundrums, and your answers to them tell you a little bit about yourself. Sometimes you'll learn things you didn't really even know about yourself through this type of game. So I'm having an absolute blast with that. I'm pretty addicted to it, and I expect to be pretty close to done with it next week, because I think I'm going to be staying awake way later than I should and just playing it constantly. That's what I've been playing. But I also, there was a nice sale for some games on Switch, and I got some money for Christmas for Switch eShop stuff. So I jumped on, I bought Chicory, which was in a recent indie showcase about a painting dog that I've heard is like a fire game.
Yeah.
That one I think won a Destructoids Game of the Year, actually. So I picked that up for like $20. The Castlevania collection was $5, so I grabbed that as well. And there were a couple other like really quality, like cheap budget titles that I scooped up. So I've got a nice, significant back catalog to get through before Pokemon Arceus. Probably during Pokemon Arceus, I'll be playing all these things. So.
Fair enough. All right. So we honestly have a lot of stuff to talk about today in terms of news. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first, Pokemon Legends Arceus! Because for whatever reason, they decided that this week they're going to drop off a bunch of trailers. Okay. So yeah, there was an overview trailer, and then today... Sorry, then there was the a World of Adventure trailer, and then today was the 13-minute gameplay preview. If you watched nothing else, I honestly recommend you watch that one. Because it really breaks down, step by step, what makes this game different. And first and foremost, I really think this game looks good. Like, not just an overall sense, but like visually. In the opening of the trailer, they show you walking through the various areas of Hisui, and I think it looks great. It totally feels like a Breath of the Wild kind of thing, and I really dig that. And there's another shot where you're riding the Hisuian Braviary, and like, it looks good. Like, I really, really think that. Second, they showcase how different it is to play the game. For example, you can sneak attack catch Pokemon. Yeah, you could just throw a Pokeball at them when they're not looking instead of having to battle them and weaken them and hope you don't knock them out. and whatever. And I think that's going to be very cathartic to some people. Like, I don't want to fight him. I just want to catch him. Okay, there you go. You have the option. And that's actually a lot like the anime, if you really think about it, because Ash has caught Pokemon just by looking at him and not battling them. He caught Totodile that way, if I recall correctly, among others. And so I think that's going to be fun. Then the battles, there's actually a really big strategic element to them in terms of a strong style versus agile style and when to use them. And you don't always have to use them, but when you do, you can create some unique battle strategies. They break down how to fight the noble Pokemon. They talk about crafting and how you can use like lures to distract Pokemon so you can catch them easier. They re-emphasize that the Pokemon will try and kill you. I mean, attack you. Right. Just attack you. Clearly, Pokemon wouldn't kill you. That's totally not something they do in the manga all the time. Okay, seriously, look up Drifloon Pokedex. You will be scarred for life. like, who thought that was a good idea to put in the Pokedex? Anyway, but you can get knocked out by the Pokemon if you tick them off enough, and that's really creative. And they expand upon Jubilife Village, not city, village. And this game just feels deep. Like, they are making this as deep as possible. There are main missions, there are side quests. You can only go to certain regions at a time while you go exploring, and which I'm sure saves on loading time. But this game just feels so deep, and so I highly recommend you watch the 13-minute preview, and I think you'll have a better grasp of what this game is before it comes out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I actually didn't get to watch this trailer yet.
Boo!
I know. I don't know. Did you get to watch it? Will? No. Okay, he's muted. He's having microphone trouble.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, I'll have to check it out. I feel like I want to kind of go in with... I feel like they've done a good enough job already of showcasing what this game is about. I understand the gameplay loop from the previous trailers, so I don't want to like overindulge in... like learning every nook and cranny of it. I'd rather be surprised, but at the same time, I'm very excited for it. The game does look good. You never know with the Pokemon company, especially recently. Sometimes they drop the ball. Quality is a little low, but I'm expecting this to be one of their better efforts.
I mean, from what seeing from the trailer itself, like they really are pushing it, and like overall, I think they've learned a lot since then. I mean, especially they're taking a lot of influence from other games, because like when they showed off the power style and the agile style, I can't help but reminds me a lot of the Bravely games with the Brave Points and all that, even some to the point of Octopath Traveler in a sense, for the best comparison I can give it. Just seeing it as well as just like taking everything they learn, even from like the Let's Go Pokemon games, they just throw the Pokeball. If you can sneak attack on it, throw it, you capture it, get EXP for your entire team. It seems like they're definitely taking everything they learned from their past games and including the games from the industry itself. So overall, this is definitely the most promising Pokemon game to date right now. And if they play the cards right, I think this game is definitely going to be quite the seller, if anything else. Especially with that, the Frenzy Pokemon, the Noble Pokemon, or the Lord Pokemon that they showed at the end of the gameplay trailer. So overall, definitely promising.
Yeah, one of the things I really loved about this particular trailer was that they showed different Pokemon in the wild. So there's like a grassland area, of course, there's a bunch of Bidoof, but then they went to another area by a river, and there was a Psyduck and a Baneary. And then they went to a beach area, and there was a Walrein just there. And I'm like, that's awesome. So, like, this is reminded me of the wild area also from Sword and Shield, where you don't know who you're going to find until you go into the wild area. And I will always remember the one time I went there, and I found a Leafeon just walking around. And I'm like, wait, what? When do you find a Leafeon in the wild? Like, you never see that. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's a Leafeon. And for some reason, I couldn't capture it. I couldn't remember. I always hated it. I was like, I just found a Leafeon and it's gone. But like I have a feeling I'll have plenty of those experiences as we get into this. And the best part for me is that the game is Pokemon Legends Arceus. And we haven't seen Arceus since the teaser trailer. So you want to talk about mysteries, Tyler. They still don't tell you how Arceus fits into the game, even though his name is in the title. Yeah. And I love that. I love that. You don't have to spoil it. Let it come naturally. And I think that's what they're doing. They're playing the long game here. It's like, oh, how are you going to deal with Arceus? If you don't know, we haven't even seen him since the teaser. So, yay. You don't have to reveal everything at once.
Exactly. Okay? Exactly. Yes.
It's not that hard. Anyway. But again, Pokemon Legends Arceus on the 28th. Be ready. Other big news. Kirby and the Forgotten Land. This was one of the bigger announcements of the last Nintendo Direct, and we got not only a brand new trailer, but a release date of March 25th. Boom!
No, I said boo! Like, I scared you. Like, the hiccups should be gone now. I think I fixed them, don't worry.
Tyler, I know I'm supposed to be kind of a jerkish host, but like, even that's too easy for me. Like, you left so much low-hanging fruit. But we're talking about Kirby, who is a lovable puffball, so I will be benevolent this one time and just move on.
You should be thanking me. Yeah, it's fine. You know what? It's fine.
I'm the host. Why would I thank you? Anyway, we got a brand new trailer on March 25th, so that means within 1 month we'll be getting Triangle Strategy, still a terrible name, and Kirby and the Forgotten Land, and that's on top of Arceus and Advance Wars, which didn't they move that to March?
That
it is packed, yes.
No, March, I think,
is...
that might just be spring. I think Advance Wars is just general
okay.
spring.
Okay, so yeah, so that's around there. Okay, so like I teased in the Nintendo Draft, which has been no progress on, for the record, none of us have gotten points since last
it
week.
It has only been 1 week.
It has been only 1 week. But if you remember the last time, I think we got that Nintendo Direct announcement like within 2 weeks of the draft, and I was like, I win! Anyway, but Nintendo is packing this for 6 months, and I like that. So and the trailer looks great. I mean, going back to what I said with Legends Arceus, there's some shots in here that looks absolutely beautiful. There's a there's a shot of Kirby under like a castle bridge or whatever, and then one in a desert wasteland with like this grocery store area in the background. And I'm like, this is so different from all the other Kirby games. And we got new powers like a drill hat. We got brand new enemies, including a twist on the classic tree enemy that you all know about.
Wispy, Wispy, yeah.
Yeah, Wispy. And then, ladies and gentlemen, Meta Knight.
Oh, yep.
Meta Knight!
He's confirmed back.
He's back!
Yep.
So, and he's still attacking Kirby.
And
oh, Meta Knight.
Also, as announced there in the trailer as well, this game will also be co-op as well. You actually
yes.
get to control Waddle Dee, which, yeah, a lot of people definitely bring support for Waddle Dee these days.
Yeah.
And also, like, not detailed in the trailer, but announced later on, there will be also Amiibo support. So, like, those Kirby Amiibos that you're collecting, yeah, it's going to pay off this time around. So, yeah, it's going to be that. Like, also, like, other different parts. I think you said the drill hat, but also, Kirby's got a gun! I'm not sure you know that. Well, gun, quote-unquote.
It looks like a blowhorn. Come on. Quote-unquote.
Yeah, but... Again, like, yeah.
Kirby's carried around a cannon before. It's not like Kirby's never had a...
Yeah, this is a cannon, but this time around, Kirby can definitely just, like, shoot at will. But also, one of the most important details in this trailer, there's a fishing minigame!
Like, there's a lot of minigames. There's, like, a minigame where you, like, feed a bunch of Waddle Dees.
Oh, yeah. Like, okay, go left. Well, like, okay, left, right. Which one were you going to pick it? And it's like, yeah, there's a lot of minigames. I mean, the fishing minigames. Like, okay, I'm actually low-key hyped about this game just because, like, there's just so much. There's minigames, just that color, and, of course, that Kirby orb that you always know and love. So just, like, seeing this entire thing, and as well as that, like, that openness that... Again, that's the first open world game, as it said, for Kirby. It's
for
just
Kirby.
Like, is like, okay. I mean, sure, maybe this thing's going to be capped at maybe at the 30 frames per second. I don't really know. We don't know the details, but overall, this thing is really shaping up to be quite something. And the fact it's coming out in March already is like, wow.
Yeah, this trailer I did watch, and it looked incredible. I have always been a Kirby fan, but like most people, I think the 2D side scrollers were starting to wear on me, and this seems like the perfect change of pace. The world itself just looked so, like, Kirby games always look vibrant, but this just looked particularly enchanting. I found the visual style to be the highlight of this trailer. I think something about just the water, the different areas that Kirby is visiting, it's packed with the charm that you would expect for a Kirby game, and the early release date was the greatest news of all. I did not expect March for this game. It seems like a lot of people did online, but I thought this would probably be May. So knowing that it's this close is definitely incredibly exciting.
Yeah, this is just... I honestly don't know what's... I don't know fully what I'm going to make of this, but this feels like the good old Kirby games that I remember enjoying, like Triple Deluxe and Crystal Shards. I love
Crystal Shards. Yes.
So, I totally want to play this game. Like, I did not play Star Allies because I just didn't like the idea of it. I don't think I played the previous Kirby game, which I can't remember what it was called. But I've played Kirby, and I have an off and on relationship. It was one of the first games I played on my Game Boy, and there are other ones that I played a lot, like Kirby Pinball.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Crystal Shards, like I mentioned. Didn't play Air Ride, but I played like Campus Curse and some of the other ones. So I'm looking forward to this one because it looks like a lot of fun. And just that little difference in the Kirby games to give a new experience. And that's what we honestly need. So, and again, this just further enforces that we are going to have a big first 6 months for Nintendo. Again, starting in 2 weeks. And then who knows what we're going to get for the rest of the year between first and third party. So I saw an article, I think, a week or two ago. It was like, do we know all the Nintendo games are coming out this year? No! No! You idiots! Why would you say that? Like, Nintendo never reveals everything. Like, they didn't reveal Dread until E3. So, or WarioWare. Or, we knew about Diamond and Pearl. But still. Or Advance Wars. That was supposed to come out last December. We didn't know that for a while. So, Nintendo's still got some wild cards up their sleeve.
They seem to know, or they seem to have learned from Metroid Prime 4 that waiting to announce games until they're pretty much done is the strategy.
With a few exceptions, like with Smash Brothers, sure. Obviously. So, because that was 2018, and then anyway. But, so that's going to be...
I don't know, Smash Bros. Came out, that was announced at E3.
Yeah.
And it came out on... that year on December. Like,
did it?
6 months. Yeah.
Yep.
I guess I forgot that. It's been, I've tried to sleep since then. Okay. <Yeah. laughs> Things have happened since then, Tyler. I can't remember exact times. All right. Next up, we got Bidoof. Okay. So, for those who have been paying attention for at least the last little while, I have been begging Nintendo and the Pokemon Company to make these clever Pokemon things in the style of Pokemon Twilight Wings or Poketoon. I did not like Pokemon Evolutions for the most part, and yet, but Twilight Wings and then with Poketoon, they just keep coming up with these creative ideas. They heard me in the worst way because they made a thing called Bidoof's Big Stand, and they even defined it as original animation, which it is. It is actually an animation style which they have not used before in this capacity, which I applaud. Why on God's green Pokemon Earth did they make it a Bidoof short out of this? Long story short, because Tyler has not watched it, it's about a Bidoof, obviously, who gets caught by a trainer, and Bidoof's dream, if you will, is to get a high five from his trainer. Like, he sees his trainer's Lucario, great Pokemon, fight another Pokemon, Staravia, and... they high-five after the victory, which is weird because a flying type should be the fighting type. But anyway, and so Bidoof tries to please its master, right? Except all the trainer does is use it as an HM slave, as Will liked to say. And it's hilarious because it's accurate. And then at the end, we see Bidoof... trainer in, I guess, a Pokemon League or a gym battle. It's never really clear. And Bidoof is the last Pokemon, which should have been this I'm so screwed moment. But no, they have Bidoof beat a freaking Staravia by hitting its beak enough that I guess a Hyper Beam self implodes on itself.
Yeah, like Staravia just basically shooting Hyper Beams like, no, hit this beak, close this valve.
Yeah, boom. So, and of course, then the Bidoof wins, and the trainer is happy, and, you know, they all live happily ever after. No! No! This is a lie! Okay?
Like, the only thing that was missing in that, like if they only could have that licensing rights of the music, like, you're the best
around! Exactly. Go Karate Kid. If you're going to do it, you go full tilt, but no, they went half tilt on here. Okay, here's my problem with this. First of all, no self-respecting Pokemon trainer will have a Bidoof in a six Pokemon battle. Okay? And just no. Unless it's like me when I used to play Pokemon where I had like that one ultra level 80 Pokemon before EXP share and EXP all and all that. Like I had one super level Pokemon, the rest were just there. So, you know, just whoever I caught, they were in the party. Okay. B, there is no way it should have been a Staravia. And C, really? A self-imploding Hyper Beam? Like, they were trying so hard. And I know what they were going for. They're going for kind of like a Disney Pixar thing where the Bidoof was, you know, picked on in the wild. It was abandoned by its herd. It was impressed by a trainer and asked to get caught and blah, blah, blah. No. just no. Like, this is almost Ash Ketchum anime level of stuff where Ash does things which is like impossible in the context of the Pokemon world, but he gets away with it because he's the pro tag. And but it's cool when Ash does it because you can believe in his creativity and his spirit and his connection to the Pokemon to where, yes, with the power of friendship, like Ash Greninja, that's not an in-canon thing. That was just for Ash in the anime, and then they eventually transferred it over to the games because everyone loved it, because, of course, it was really, really cool. But that's something that only happened in the anime. This is something that would only happen here. And besides, if that Bidoof was leveled up in a way that was meaningful, it would have evolved into Bibarel. But it wasn't. It was a Bidoof, and it was expected to be a Staravia who has a freaking Hyper Beam. No. just no.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting short, and like when I first saw, like, okay, the animation definitely took some while to get used to, and yeah, that whole thing, like, okay, the trainer thinks he's using Bidoof as the HM slave, like, okay, like,
yeah,
fine, like, just like, no, I don't care about the Oran Berry. You can keep your Oran Berry and stop it, and yeah. Like, okay, now I'm at a battle. What?
Like, yeah.
Okay, like. Oh, no. Time to step up. Okay, I can do it. Like, ah! No.
It literally walks on the Hyper Beam. Like, how? How does it walk on the Hyper Beam? How? I don't know.
Cartoon logic.
It's anime, Todd. It's anime.
And, yeah, like, that final battle with Bidoof and Staravia is just like, okay, like, nope. Get that. Go with that rollout one more time. And then, boom. And then, high five. Yeah. I mean, it definitely has that after-school cartoon feel. If anything else, it's just, it's not supposed to make sense. It's just, like, it's just wacky cartoons. To the point is, like, I really can't, thankfully, I don't have too much of a connection with the Pokemon series as much, but it was like, okay, fine, don't think too much of it. But, unfortunately, like, you definitely had the problems with it, so, but, you know.
Was it adorable? Yes, it was adorable, and I loved the animation style. It felt like kind of like a Pixar cartoon, and I dug that. But it's just like, and I hate this mainline Pokemon anime, Pokemon Journeys, because they've done this before as well. They had Ash or Go, I think it might have been Go. He used a normal type tackle on a rock type Pokemon, which should have done literally one damage, and yet the Pokemon was damaged so badly that Go could catch it. I'm like, that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works. So I'm not, and for the record, I don't hate Bidoof. When they did that April Fool's Rickroll with Bidoof, that was beautiful. That's entertainment. This, not so much. Now, moving on, because I want to get Tyler involved. He's back. I want to. He was liking something of mine on Twitter. Thank you for that, Tyler.
Pay attention to the podcast, Todd. Maybe pay attention to the podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry, but did you not?
How about that? But you pay attention to the podcast instead of responding to my tweet.
I didn't respond. No, but I didn't. You didn't tweet at me. You liked a tweet of mine. So right. You clearly wanted to see a response from me. So who's paying attention now?
I wanted to see a response from you during the podcast, so I can rip on you for paying attention to Twitter during the podcast. But
Anyway, yeah. So death battle. No, I'm kidding.
What's my death battle?
I mean, I'm gonna get to it, Tyler. I already have the image. I'm looking at the image right now, and it is actually Nintendo related. So you picked the perfect time to like
the
post.
If you go to Todd's Twitter, dear audience, he put up a poll saying one like, and he'll do a death battle matchup. He'll like put one of his dream matchups out there. So
and I will tell you the one because
the scene shenanigans.
And I will tell you the one I'm gonna do for Tyler. It is Shulk. From Xenoblade Chronicles.
I like it.
Versus Lightning from Final Fantasy 13.
Shulk will win.
I don't know. Because Lightning is extremely powerful as a Final Fantasy character, and she's had 3 games worth of experience. But Shulk has the Monado, which has time prediction, elemental control, and various other things. So, I've seen this match.
Shulk, like, this is a Xenoblade plot hole. This is why you listen to NEP for the tangents. So we're going
right
on this tangent.
Do it. Roll with the baby. Go.
Can anybody make sense of the climax? Spoiler alert for Xenoblade Chronicles, by the way. So at the end of the game, you stop the dude from slashing Bionis in half, right? And then the dude who's clearly a bad guy the whole time reveals that he is clearly a bad guy, and he shoots you in the back and to free Zanza, right? Shulk dies. Like, Shulk was dead before the game, and Zanza revived him. And then he leaves Shulk's body, and, like, Shulk is dead. And then somehow he just is alive? Can anybody explain to me how he just, like, lives after that? Like, it doesn't make any sense. He just, like, he seems like he's dead, and then he's just fine. It makes no sense. That's one of the few plot holes in that game that drives me insane.
The power of anime and heavens. That's pretty much it.
Well, yeah. Well, I'll give you another one. At the end of the game, Fiora has her body back. How?
That one they do allude to in a scene between her and the people, the Mechanis folks in that nice village. They say that they might be able to save her somehow. But they're like, it's a long shot, but it might happen. And then it does happen. But they don't tell you how. You're right. It's Mickey Mouse.
It's the power of love.
It's the power of love in anime. Yeah. Although everybody knows that Melia is the better person.
Yes. Yes. Whatever. And she clearly had feelings for her. And she's voiced by Jenna Coleman. Man, like, come on.
She's Melia. She's dope.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I was like, I'm sorry, which one came back for the epilogue content in the definitive edition? That would be Melia. All right. So this one is a funny story. If the tangent and the Bidoof for the what's going on stories, this is a hilarious one. This story comes from 2017, but it's being talked about now because of a court case. I swear this is real. It has to do with Pokemon Go. Okay. So in 2017, a couple of Los Angeles police officers, make your own joke here, were fired for playing Pokemon Go. Now, you might pause and say, well, that's not fair. If they're officers and they happily play Pokemon Go, that's not a crime. Technically, no. But they were playing Pokemon Go when they were getting requests to respond to incidents like actual in real-time crimes. And they were caught on the what they call the bus cam, which is the camera inside their vehicles. They were asked to come assist with a robbery, and they refused because a Snorlax was nearby, and they weren't going to miss the chance to catch that Snorlax. I swear this is real. I swear. Like, what? And trust me, if you recall, like, the early days of Pokemon Go, we had plenty of these weird stories. We had people falling off of cliffs. Yeah. We had Pokemon going into animal cages at the zoo. We had people finding dead bodies because they would go off the beaten path to find these rare Pokemon. But this takes the cake. How much do you have to hate your job to go as a police officer who is trained to protect and serve? Again, insert own joke here. Who are trained to protect and serve, and they go, oh, we got to go at a robbery. Oh, dude, there's a Snorlax nearby. You want to do that instead?
Yeah. I mean, even slacking off to the job is like we always do it in our day-to-day lives. But the fact that you're a policeman and like, oh, let's go play Pokemon Go while there's an ongoing case, like, priorities much, especially when it comes to public safety, which is yeah, not a bad look for it. Yeah, so I mean, granted, as a Pokemon fan, I gotta give respect to, like, no, we gotta get the Snorlax. Come on, come on, come on. On the other hand, you're a policeman trying to put responsible public safety. So, 50-50. Yeah.
Tyler.
I have no thoughts. Just like the person who was doing this, there's just nothing going through my brain right now.
Like, when I heard the story, I was literally writing it, and I'm like, So you thought that no weird stories had happened since 2016 when this launched, right? Because I thought, oh, this clearly had to happen recently. No, it was 2017, and I guess they're in court. I don't know why, but this had to be typed by a stenographer. Like this, I mean, think about what stenographers have to type in the various court cases they're in, right? All that weird stuff, and this is what they had to type. It was like, the police officers refused to attend a crime because of a Snorlax. Like, I would have been wondering if she could smell, like, imagine if it was one of the harder Pokemon to spell. Like, Snorlax you can kind of get away with, but, like, you had to type in, they wanted to play Pokemon Go to catch a Snorlax that was nearby. That doesn't leave your mind. Like, even after all the violent crimes and all the other testimony she's had to have heard, like, that's got to stick out in your mind that police officers abandoned their job to catch a Snorlax. What a world.
Again, we live in a society. We live in a society.
It's... I don't know what it is anymore. I don't know.
Yep.
And again, they were fired, thank goodness. But, like, the next time I see a police officer, even though I know they're not, I'm going to be thinking, I wonder if I could distract them with Pokemon Go.
That would be something. I mean, the fact that, public safety or Snorlax.
Snorlax.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
I can see them singing as they capture it, too. We are living in a Pokemon world, Pokemon. Yeah. Try explaining. I want to know the conversation they had with their boss. Like, full stop. Like, so you didn't go to the crime because of the Snorlax. Now, sir, listen to me. I know that sounds bad, but Snorlax is a rare Pokemon in Pokemon Go. We don't see them every day. What were we supposed to do? You were supposed to go help the crime. Or help the crime. Help stop the crime. Wow.
Again, the police force, what are you going to do?
No comment. All right. Next up. We have a honestly more wholesome story, I suppose. According to VG Charts, who are honestly very meticulous about keeping up with the current sales of both games and consoles, the Nintendo Switch has officially passed the lifetime sales of the Nintendo Wii. This has not been confirmed by Nintendo as of yet, but again, VG Charts are known for their documentation of sales figures. So, at the end of 2021, so that's not including the current 2 weeks-ish of January sales, the Switch is at 101.88 million units sold, and the Wii was at 101.63. So thus, the Switch has passed the Wii, and that makes this the most sold, if accurate, it makes this the most sold console in Nintendo history. Very impressive. And, of course, we're also burying the lead that it just crossed 100 mil.
Yeah, right.
Because it wasn't the last time we talked about its sales figures around Black Friday. So, go Switch.
Yeah, it's just kind of boggles, like, how long we've come so far ever since its initial release. And now this thing is shaping up to be Nintendo's top console ever. It's just like, okay. So, like, it's... Let's just continue with this up, support the games, and we'll be fine. And, well, while we're at it, how about that Net Switch Pro then? Please? But I know, we won't have expectations, but yeah, I think that probably will be the next logical step, but who knows when. Yeah,
there's no sign of stopping. I mean, the stream of games this year is tremendous. We still have definitely a new Zelda title coming out for the Switch. I'm curious to see how high it will get, but... I mean, what do you guys think? Where do you think it'll end? I think 140 million seems ambitious. If it's already crossed 100, though,
yeah,
it's averaging 20 a year. Like, it's
25.
Possible.
Well, okay, yeah, 20, because we're almost to year 5 right now, or the end of year 5.
Yeah.
So it's tricky, because, and another thing to note is that the Wii did 101 million in its lifetime. We're still only in year 5. So it's still got a long way to go. At least 3 years. 3 years, be fair. So, okay, one of you, yes, you people, posted on the article, thank you for that, please do that as much as you can, it really does help us out, that at present, the only ones that it doesn't have, that's behind, is the Game Boy and Game Boy Color, which are at 118 million, and the Nintendo DS, which is at 154 million. So let's put that as the benchmark. Can they get to $154 million in 3 years?
That's so, I mean, if they come out with another model, for sure.
Yeah, it seems that Nintendo definitely will have this thing cinched. But obviously, just adding more to it, I think, would be better. Like, again, that 4K rumored model that we've been hearing so many times about. And just, I want to play Zelda and smoothly. So, yeah, with the Switch, even with Switch OLED, it's just like, yeah, that's not really what I want. I mean, it's nice, but not really what I want. So, if they can add more to that, then, yeah, Nintendo's definitely got something better.
Yeah, this is tricky for multiple reasons. Let's start off with the obvious one, which is the global gaming shortage. All right? Or, sorry, the gaming shortage. The microchip shortage, which is causing the global shortage of consoles and other materials. There's even a paper shortage going on that affect me and my comics, believe it or not. So they said that they were lowering their expectations to 20 million this year, I believe they said, or the fiscal year. So if we assume that it'll go a full 8 years, so that, let's just say they do 20 million a year, and that's with the shortage. That's ambitious, not impossible, but they would need to keep cranking out the games, maybe do the Switch Pro, keep plugging away and hope that the ship gets righted soon enough. Could they get 154? Maybe. I don't think anybody expected them to get to 100 million this fast, so that is going in their favor. And of course, the Switch via word of mouth keeps getting hyped, and 2022 looks like it'd be a good year for games. I don't know, though. It's just so hard to predict, because if they didn't have the chip shortages and they were still selling Switches like crazy, which they still are, but definitely to a lesser extent, I would say totally they could reach 154 million in 3 years. But this is just something we're going to have to wait and see. If nothing else, it will definitely reach the number two spot. Like, without a doubt, because the one above them, I says Game Boy and Game Boy Color, which is at 118 million. So, which I'm not sure why that's bundled together, but whatever. So, like, they're totally going to get another 16 million before this is all said and done. Like, that's not the issue at all. So, then the only things above them in reality would be the DS and the PS2. Wouldn't that be a hoot if it beat the PS2? I'm just saying. So, but regardless, congratulations to the Switch for crossing 100 million, allegedly, and beating the Wii, allegedly, and earning the top console spot. This is going to be a hard one to beat. But then again, Nintendo has surprised us before, so you never know. All right, next up we have the beginning of the rumor mill. Yes, I know, you're all so excited for this. First up, we have rumors of, wait for it, Pokemon games.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, I know. So what's going on this time? Well, a Nintendo insider is saying that we might be getting another mainline and spin-off games for Pokemon. Now, you could take Pokemon spin-off games a lot of ways. You could take it like Arceus and new Pokemon Snap, or you could take it like Pokemon Cafe Mix. It's up to you. Cafe Remix or whatever. I don't know. So this comes from Samus Hunter. Okay, can we just say that's a name? All right, like we've had like the weird leaker names. This is a name, Samus Hunter. Okay. Anyway, they are saying that it's possible that within the fiscal year 2022, which is March to next March, we could get a teaser for the next mainline Pokemon game. And we could get some new Pokemon spin-offs on either console or mobile. I think there's without a doubt there's going to be a mobile Pokemon game. They can't help but crank those things out. I mean, just look at Magikarp Jump. I mean, are you kidding me? How was that? That was not only popular, they made an anime episode, which is... it's something. Let's just move on. But they're thinking that it could be related to Detective Pikachu, because if you recall, the Detective Pikachu game did not end definitively like the movie did. The movie had its own ending. This is a different ending in the games. So they're thinking that Detective Pikachu 2 could be coming out, and there could be another big spin-off game coming for the console, but we don't know as of yet.
It's just wondering about these things. Like, oh, okay, like, as you said, we could definitely see another Pokemon mobile game come out down the line. It's just too... too much not to do that. In regards to like another console game, I mean, that's kind of logical. If anything else, it's just about when it's going to come out. Because again, after Arceus, what's next? Like, are we going to have something else, another remake, another port, whatever it may be? It's going to be logical. But the fact that the only thing I'm only hoping for is that, like, obviously they don't rush with these Pokemon games like they were like Sword and Shield, and just obviously just take their time with it. So like, another game of the Pokemon series for sure. When are we going to get it? That will be the question.
Yeah. So, okay, yeah. But again, this is just a rumor, so who knows?
Another Detective Pikachu game doesn't move the meter for me at all, but another movie does. If that happens, I would be excited for it, even though I actually have not seen the first one yet. I do need to go back and watch that.
Highly recommend it. I mean, obviously, it's not like the Sonic movie, but it's still fantastic.
Nothing's that good, but yeah, I mean, Sex Pikachu, I'm sure, is quality. Ryan Reynolds, you can't go wrong.
No, well, hold on.
What now?
Green Lantern was bad. That's
Green Lantern.
Yeah, Green Lantern. Yeah, Green Lantern.
Wolverine Origins.
Okay, that's good.
The Proposal, you know, not the best.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's a Sandra Bullock movie.
There's like, Sandra Bullock is awful, so she counters.
Hey, whoa, Blindside.
That movie's mediocre. Start on Gravity.
Never seen Gravity
of all time. It's hailed by the critics. It is one of the most boring, terrible movies you will ever watch.
Mm. So you're saying that it doesn't hold you down?
It does not hold you down. It certainly does not. I'm not kidding. The first thing in the movie is it comes up and says, there is no oxygen in space. And it's like, well, no, duh, there is no oxygen in space. Like, it's a terrible movie. It's terrible. Trust me, it's awful.
Okay.
Sandra Bullock is awful. Anyway, Detective Pikachu 2. That should be a movie. And that would be great. But yes, I was looking at the other day, I saw on Twitter that the movie seemed like it was in doubt. Now, that was on Twitter, but I haven't seen anything in Googling it that says otherwise, so I'm skeptical of this for sure.
So again, that's why I said this is the rumor mill segment of our show, which brings us to Fire Emblem. There, I want to actually yell a bit at this one. I want to go off on another rant. don't worry, it's not gonna be bad as Bidoof, but this is a legit critique of a certain website. I frequent multiple websites to try and see the Nintendo news as it happens, outside of course watching the Nintendo Twitter and such. And I went there today, I think early this morning, and the title was of the article, New Fire Emblem Game Leaked. And I'm like, awesome. We're going to get a Fire Emblem game this year. It's awesome. And then I actually read the article and they go, oh, no, it wasn't leaked. It's talked about by an insider who has a mixed bag of results. And I'm like, that's not a leak. Like, what is that? That's not just fake news. That's clickbait, and that's just as bad. All right, like new Fire Emblem game hinted by insider. That's an accurate title, and it still brings people into the article. But when I think of leak, I think of what happens with Rabbids every time, because with Kingdom Battle and Sparks of Hope, it both got leaked days before, or one was a month before E3. Like, that's a leak. Like, ooh, is this what we're gonna get? But no, this is an insider who has a literal mixed bag history of results. That's not a leak. That's potential information. Get it right. Rant over. So, according to this leaker, we are gonna get the next main line, or at least a tease of the next main line Fire Emblem game by the team who did Fire Emblem Three Houses, which is obviously Intelligent Systems, but the new version of the team. And according to this leaker, the game is going to be bigger, more refined, and I think they even just said like better in general, like in terms of mechanics. Which I'm sure, I think one of you, yeah, wasn't it you, Tyler, last week was like it could have been a little bit better in certain things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, Tyler said that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let him speak, Will.
I am deeply, deeply sorry, but I did not hear you.
I said, weren't you the one last week who had some comments about how Three Houses could have been better?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the visuals, the graphics were not as great as they could be. And there was definitely some excess fat on the Garrick Mach segments for sure. But I mean, it's still an unbelievably great game.
Of course.
The foundation is there for
yes.
a sequel that I think all three of us and every Fire Emblem fan could potentially agree is the best game in the series, because they've done such a good job with the direction of the story. And really the past two games, the battle animations could be improved.
Yeah.
There's some stuff to clean up.
So this leak said that it's going to build off of what Three Houses did, but make it bigger, better, grander, that kind of a thing. And they also stated that we're probably also going to get Genealogy of the Holy War remaster, which of course is on my Nintendo draft list. So awesome. But again, not leaked, just stated by insiders, potential insiders. Seriously, don't give false titles. It ticks me off to high heaven. See Super Smash Brothers, okay? How many? Oh yeah, we know the final character, and none of them were Sora. Not a single one of them were Sora. You all failed. All of you were wrong. All of you were wrong. Rant over. So finally, rumor wise, we have one that honestly would make me sad. There is a potential rumor that potentially Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope will not come out in 2022 as planned, and instead will be 2023.
We're obviously factoring with a lot of things, including the world situation and all that, including with like Ubisoft's own personal troubles. I'm kind of sad that this game, if it's true, I am sad that this game's going to be delayed. But then again, if it gives them time, and definitely as long as the team itself is like in good morale spirits during development, if they need to take the time, by all means, take the time they have to. And if Shigeru Miyamoto gave this blessing to the first game and of course to the second game, then by all means, I do not mind.
The funny thing about this one is that Kingdom Battle came out in 2017, so here we are in 2022. Even if it doesn't come out until June, that's still a 5-year wait for this game. So they were clearly, and they even said in the E3 presentation that they have 3 times the team working on Sparks of Hope than they did on Kingdom Battle. So that's already pretty significant, and if they were willing to wait this long to reveal it, they're willing to wait longer to release it because they know the expectations that are now upon them. Not to mention, there are things going on at Ubisoft. Things? Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think Blizzard, Activision, what their share of troubles? No. There's definitely more in the industry. Yes.
Yeah. So, if that's holding it back, fine. If that is not part of it, but they're just still trying to make sure that they have the definitive version that they need to have to release, fine. It already looks great based on what we've seen. It's already something entirely different from what Kingdom Battle was, which is awesome. So I'll wait. If I've waited this long for Bayonetta 3...
wait, but I don't know. I don't trust this report. I feel like this... The timetable to me feels more like this should come out this year. I mean, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but it doesn't appear like they're overhauling the graphics. It probably is in the same engine. Again, this is just a rumor, so we can't say for sure, but I'm skeptical of this. I think that it will come out this year.
Yeah, again, this is why we're saying this is all the rumor mill, but I'm with you. We can't definitively trust this report, but we've seen games be delayed multiple times for one. And of course, the coronavirus is still out there, so that could be another reason that things are getting delayed. So, but if it takes a while, fine. If it doesn't, fine. We are ready to play Sparks of Hope whenever it arrives, and so just get it out when you can. Ubisoft will be here. Okay? So, next up. Yes, we're still not done. This has been a big news segment. This one's about for Will. Platinum Games has a new CEO. Will, take it away.
Yes, so if you have not read the Platinum Games' blog post, Atsushi Inaba is officially the CEO of Platinum Games. So if you recall Atsushi Inaba, he's previously worked on the titles of past lore of Clover Games, like Okami, Mad World, as well as the Bayonetta series. And of course, I think also oversee about Wonderful 101. So Atsushi Inaba, from basically the producer role, now has been promoted to the CEO, is now okay. Atsushi Nama, officially CEO of Platinum Games. So, yeah, it's just another promotion step up for the guys. So, definitely congratulations to Atsushi Nama. And I can only just help but wondering if it's anything regarding to the whole acquisition from Tencent or regarding to what other projects he's now had to oversees. But, yeah. Like Atsushi Nama, definitely congratulations on your promotion, and hopefully we get to see much more details of more Platinum projects down the line. And yeah, and perhaps hopefully just show up more. We're going to Bayonetta 3, hopefully, but again, that's probably also due to Hideki Kamiya. But we know about him.
Yeah, as long as we get Bayonetta 3 this year, I don't care. I was like, hey, if you get promoted, good for you. You must have done something right. So I'm just saying.
And just want to add to one more tangent as well, because this was recently just announced, like literally a minute ago. Like, you know how we've been talking about the Fire Emblem series of statues? Like, I got the Lin, you got the Ike.
I'm getting Ike. He's coming to me in July.
Yes. Just now, recently announced from the Intelligence System store, there is going to be a officially female Byleth figurine that's going to be coming out. Down, I believe, in 2023. But guess the price.
$400.
Lower.
$399.
We're looking at a $250 statue.
That's what Ike was.
Yeah. So pretty much in the same statue as Ike. But yeah, it's currently out right now, like very available pre-orders at the Good Small store right now. And not sure you check out the pictures. It's pretty decent. I mean, it's definitely very reminiscent to the Ike one.
Cool. It looks really, really cool.
Yeah, with the sword, the creator, with the two different swords is definitely quite nice.
The level of detail is great.
Look, I usually would not get these kinds of statues. The only statues I honestly have in my room outside of the Amiibos from years back is the entire Batman v Superman Sideshow Collection DC Collectibles line.
Those things.
They are absolutely beautiful, and you can't tell me that Batman v Superman wasn't a great movie, but we'll get to that later. So, but yeah, I don't need these statues, but when I saw the Ike one,
it was destiny. It was destiny.
But yeah, I was just like, the detail was so grand. It was not something I was expecting. So yeah, I can understand it. I bet you a lot of people are going to get that one for sure.
For sure. Like if you had the money to burn and you're a Fire Emblem fan, obviously this pile of female figurines is obviously definitely the top notch. So yes, it's again a Good Smile Company and the Intelligence System figurines has always been quite top notch ever since with the Cordelia, Camilla, and Darja one back in early years. So yeah, it's pretty good. So if you got cash, by all means, pre-orders available right now.
So yeah. That's interesting. Send me the link to that in our Discord. I'll definitely look at it. Just look, not buying. I'm an Ike guy through and through. All right. So now we head to our main event. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We're going back to the rumor mill, because one of the biggest reports of the week, and ironically something that made us realize we didn't need to talk about this in a Nintendo Draft last week, there is a rumor that Mario Kart 9, yes, 9, I'm not counting Tour, that's... No.
Yeah.
No. Mario Kart 9 is in development, could come out this year, and they are teasing, quote, a major twist on the franchise to make it as outstanding as Mario Kart 8/8 Deluxe was. And of course, everyone's talking about what that might be. So let's join in that fun in a Nintendo discussion. All right, so obviously we've all been fans of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. I'm actually surprised I bought it, but then when I got to play it with you guys and just play it in general, got to play as Link on the Triforce cycle and everything, it was a lot of fun, and I'm glad we all got it. And of course, I totally won in battle mode, let no one tell you differently. So No, nothing. Fine.
You won a Mickey Mouse Battle Royale game, one game. You never won a series. You
yes,
never
I did.
Won a race. You
no,
never
won a... I think I won one race, but in battle mode, I won multiple times.
I don't
anyway,
know. I'm skeptical.
Well,
I'm
let's
skeptical.
Play. Let's play this weekend. Let's play this weekend. Let's settle this once and for all. Let's play this weekend.
I mean, if you want to get embarrassed this weekend, it's fine.
Tyler, if you think
that can be arranged.
Tyler, if you think I'm embarrassed to lose, do you really think I would have kept playing Smash Brothers with you all those times? I got my butt handed to me by you, and I kept going.
Now you're taking the fun away from it. Now you're like, oh, you think I'm embarrassed. Like, you're expecting to lose. It sounds like you're expecting to lose.
No, not Mario Kart. In Smash Brothers, yes.
Okay, yeah.
See, there's a difference. Anyway, so we all enjoyed Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. It was a big thing, and the anti-gravity and the gliding elements were really, really fun. So, Tyler, I want to start with you. What could, in your mind, be this big twist that could make Mario Kart 9 so special?
I am so glad that you started with me, because my preferred twist is the obvious one. Mario Kart is the king of racers. It's the most, pretty much consistently the most fun, especially to play with friends. However, there are two racing games that I like more than Mario Kart, and that they are Diddy Kong Racing and Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed.
Okay.
And those two games, you can also, more so in Sonic All-Stars, you can transform into a plane and you can transform into a boat. And the physics change depending on which vehicle you're in. And the fact that that has not happened in Mario Kart yet is astonishing to me. In Diddy Kong Racing, you can pick which vehicle you want to race in before the race starts. I'm picturing more of a Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed, where your car literally transforms mid-race into a plane, into a boat, so you can explore new settings. It's simple, yes. However, with the addition of the slightly different controls to add some gameplay variety, the plane flying, you know, your airplane controls are inverted, your range of motion is not just straight, you're going up, down, left, and right, and in the boat, where you're going to be a little bit more loose, adds to the skill. You need to master every mechanic. But more and most importantly, it allows for more creative tracks. I mean, imagine a race around the Common Observatory in a plane. I think that would be so much fun. So it's obvious, and I think a lot of people have discussed it, but I would honestly be disappointed if that wasn't the direction they went with. Like I said, the two other races that I think are better than Mario Kart both have that mechanic, it's time to add that in.
Will, what do you think?
Yeah, like, Diddy Kong Racing is definitely, like, back in the day, once Mario Kart 64 came out, I also agree, that thing was definitely the superior racer back in that time, and, like, now with the recent racing games coming out, like, again, Mario Kart 8 has withstand so much since then, and it's still being played up to this day. A lot of people still play it, but regarding to this twist that I've always been wondering, there is definitely one crazy idea I'm currently thinking of right in my mind that it sounds crazy, but it just might work. Like, we're done with Smash Brothers. It's time to move on to kart racing. And, okay, bear with me. The twist here, I'm thinking right now, because, like, with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, we have Animal Crossing, we have F-Zero, well, the vehicles, we have Zelda. Like, we have all these guest characters actually coming in. I think it's time to actually go beyond that. Like,
go beyond? Go beyond, Will? Plus Ultra?
I think we probably... Well, maybe actually go beyond, yeah, Plus Ultra on this one. And, yeah, just, like, instead of just simply call it Mario Kart 9, we'll just, like, call it Nintendo Kart doesn't really have a good ring to it. But, yeah, like, call it Mario Kart 9 Nintendo Mix. Just, like, bring everybody in there. Like, have Samus as the driver. Donkey Kong as the driver. Like we have all these characters. Like, yeah, we have all the Mario series mainstays. But how about let's just bring in everyone. Let's just bring in Donkey Kong. Let's bring in Mario versus Donkey Kong Racing once again. Or, like, just... Like, yeah, bring Samus Aran. Bring...
Donkey Kong is in Mario Kart, though. Let's be.
Let's
add Diddy Kong back.
Yeah, Diddy Kong back. Like, yeah, just bring everybody. Like, just I can only imagine, like, heck, even bringing Samus Aran as a kart racer, even though she's not really known for kart racing, but I don't know, that could work. Like, just so many things, I think, from Nintendo's library. Like, they're done with Smash Bros. Until the next game. So I think it's about time we just bring everything from the Nintendo library or licensing to kart racing. Because I think that's kind of like, it's a stupid idea, which a lot of people have made fun of, but why not? Just bring in everybody. Just bring in the entire Nintendo library cast and just put this thing into kart racing. That would be the crazy twist I would like to see, but I mean, highly doubted, but that was something I would definitely love to see.
Yeah, this is the other obvious one, and I'm going against you on this one, real. I don't want to see a Nintendo kart. The roster for Mario Kart has been brutal in recent games, but to me, the joy, like, would I enjoy racing around in, like, in Brinstar? Yeah, that'd be fun. I wouldn't mind maybe one character, or, you know, do the F-Zero course that they did in 8 Deluxe, bring another one of those in, or have Captain Falcon be playable. I'd be okay with, you know, one or two characters. But part of the joy of Mario Kart to me is that it's a Mario title. I know that that's arbitrary, and if they added other things, it still would be fun. But there's something about the aesthetic of the game that would just fundamentally change. Like, the iconography is all Mario stuff, right? It's green shells, red shells, banana peels, like, mushrooms. It's all Mario-branded stuff. And I don't know if I want to see that change. Like, if you put... Sure, you could put Marth in a cart and, like, change his style to, like, fit the more cartoonish Mario Kart style, and it would work. But I just it doesn't perfectly fit the aesthetic that I love so much about Mario Kart. And if you're bringing everybody in, you have to change the items, you have to change a lot of things, and I think that you just. It might not happen. They might pull it off, but you run the risk of losing the soul of the series a little bit.
I mean, perhaps, yeah, there's definitely that chance of it. I mean, the only other thing that could probably have, aside from the twist, is, like, the one that we have been clamoring for so long. I mean, may not be a twist, but bring back the Double Dash. We've always been complaining about it for so long.
Okay, can we come? I want to pause right there and talk about it. I don't get. Maybe it's because it's honestly one of the few Mario Kart games I never played at length. I honestly did not own Double Dash, but I played it in, like, the store demos and everything. So was it really that good?
It was good.
It was. It really was. That's my second favorite Mario Kart game still. Honestly, I love them all pretty much, but that Double Dash is special. The giant, like, every character has their signature item. That was really cool. I'd like them to bring that back. The way the cart kind of, like, you felt the weight of the character on the back of the cart. And I feel like with the Joy-Cons, with the HD rumble and all that, like, you could really get some cool kind of effects going on while you're racing with the multiple characters. They should at least have an option to do two players that way. Like, you could do a single cart race and a double cart race. There should be two modes. I don't feel like that would be that hard to do.
Yeah. We've been, like, so fans itself has just been asking for the return of the Double Dash formula for so long. Like, yeah, like, bring in the Double Dash formula with any extra ideas that you probably have in mind. Like, that would be something that, again, a lot of fans have been waiting for so long. So, yeah, the Double Dash formula, I would definitely like to see that return again, if that would be the twist.
What the twist? I don't know. Okay, I have a few thoughts on this. The big one is, how do I say this correctly? An even bigger kind of battle mode. And I've seen other people, like, they were actually talking about this on G4 recently, believe it or not. I like the idea of, when we were playing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, I liked, like, the Cops and Robbers one. That was cool. I would love more unique modes like that. So it's not just, hey, let's do races together. Let's say, hey, we've got to pop the balloons together. I would love some kind of unique and at least as fresh as possible racing modes, especially with all these Nintendo properties. You can't tell me, like, what if they did one, since Donkey Kong is in the game, why don't they do one about bananas? You never know. Or, like, if they have, like, a series of battle modes dedicated to the various Nintendo properties while still being Mario Kart, but having like a Mario flair or a Donkey Kong flair or an F-Zero flair. I think that would be kind of unique. Like for F-Zero, if they do an F-Zero level where, or battle mode where you could, the only items you get are mushrooms because F-Zero is meant to be a much faster racing game. And so it's all about how you use the mushrooms to speed to the end and can you control the speed and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a potential there. Also, I would love, one of the things they always do is the circuits. What if they did like a Nintendo circuit? So they have like your standard like Mario level. They do like we did. They did in Deluxe with the F-Zero level. I like Will's idea of bringing in Metroid, but let's do like a Metroid level. You know, they did Hyrule. Let's have another Hyrule level. And like there's like 4, 5, or 6 race tracks about dedicated to the various Nintendo properties. That way it can even be like an unlockable circuit. Like you have to complete every other circuit one time to get the Nintendo circuit. So that would be, I think, something kind of unique. There, as for like anti-grav, I'm honestly not sure how they could top that outside of just making more intricate levels. I mean, going back to F-Zero, one of the reasons that they were so interesting was that they had not just fast speeds, but they had rather intricate level designs. Like, I would love to see even more of them. We got a taste of that in Deluxe with the anti-grav and such, but like, keep building on that. Keep making these elaborate ones with like these unique shortcuts that only the best of racers can go down, and you know, classic areas or new areas and all new designs. Let's go to the observatory. Why not? Or like a really cool twist on Rainbow Road, you know, because we always get a Rainbow Road course. Let's like break the mold and try something very special with that. There's a lot of options on how they could do it, but how they do it is always going to be the question. And that's why I'm honestly uncertain about not just this report, but the idea of them doing a big twist, because if you really think about it, they don't really need to do a big twist. They just need to go just that little bit bigger than what they did with Deluxe. A little bit more refinement, maybe more characters, maybe more like crossovers like what they did with Splatoon. Or, like, hey, how about an Inkopolis level? That'd be kind of cool. Or like the, I talked about
that
the
would be really cool.
Yeah. Or like the, or I was talking about the battle modes. What if they have a mode where it's just like you're spraying ink around for Splatoon and you're trying to trip up everybody while also still maintaining the course? I think there's a lot of fun that can be had here. So the question is, like, how are they going to do it? Because I know a lot of people have complained, like, oh, we haven't gotten Mario Kart 9 for a while because you keep buying Mario Kart 8. It's the best-selling game on the Switch. Even Animal Crossing is having trouble catching up to it because people really love this game. And so that's kind of like a double-edged sword for Nintendo because it's selling, and they want Mario Kart 9 to sell as well, if not more, but they know if they don't go big enough or good enough that people are going to be mad. It's like, you had the perfect game. How could you not improve off of that? Now, they've done a good job, I feel, of with the exception of Tour, obviously, of always doing better with these Mario Kart racers, but can they deliver that quote-unquote big twist? That's why I hate these Rubru reports, because it's like, oh, they're going to do a big twist. That doesn't really say much now, does it?
Right.
Like, no one would have guessed anti-grav for Mario Kart 8. Like, I bet...
You could have guessed that, because 7s must go underwater.
True, and the gliders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they did just do what I said with the plane and the boat, and we're like, that's the big iteration. But that would be great! I mean, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, I think we can all agree, the racing in that, the feel of the game is borderline perfect, right? I mean, the car, I wouldn't mind if they cranked the speed on 150 up a tiny bit so you're going a little bit faster. That's one of the things I loved so much about Sonic All-Stars Racing was the speed was blow your hair back speed, but that's not Mario Kart, but I wouldn't mind a little additional speed. But the only things they really need to refine gameplay-wise, I think, are like the items, maybe get rid of the coin item, make it easier to stay in first place when you are in first place. The items are obnoxious in 8 Deluxe, with the double boxes especially, I would fix that up. But beyond those like minor things, the core gameplay is so good that they don't really need to change it. I'm with Todd, and really your idea too, Will. Like, if they added some cool battle modes, I'm sure there's plenty of things they could do. I love the Splatoon idea. I think the Cops and Robbers game that they had in 8 Deluxe's battle mode is awesome. I would love to see them maybe expand on that, add some more maps for that type of game mode. But it's not like they need to reinvent the wheel, right? The idea of that this game needs a mind-blowing twist, I think, is just untrue. I think keep it simple. Do something that allows, again, I kind of think our points go hand in hand, Todd. You could create more unique, elaborate tracks if you traverse the tracks in different ways with a plane or a boat or other op. Like, there are plenty of simple ways to make Mario Kart 9 the best game, just based on the fundamental fact that the racing in 8 is so darn good, and it really has been so darn good since, you know, the beginning of time, really.
Yeah, it's... That's kind of the main strength of Nintendo. Like, even with the slightest change of detail or slightest change of ideas, they've always have been able to make it just so fresh. Like, they have been doing this for so long, ever since that the beginning years of Nintendo. And the fact they're still doing the same formula, but with the simplest of twists, is just like, yeah, that's always been their bread and butter. So, like, for them to, like, to twist up the Mario Kart formula once again with this entry, and ever since with the success of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, is just like, okay, what will be the most simplest idea that will twist the idea but still be so much more fresh? Because generally it's not really that complicated once it presents itself. That's what Nintendo's always been very known for. So it could be the most simplest of things, could be the most complicated of things. I mean, we never know how Nintendo's mentality is when developing these and reformatting that formula, but it's always been their main strength, which it's going to be interesting to see if we see any details at this year's E3, if at all.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with Mario and Rabbids, is that they can excuse the long wait time if the quality is there. Because if the quality's not there, we're just going to say, how did you screw up Mario 8 Deluxe? So I'm curious to see how Nintendo handles this. And of course, there's going to be the online functionality. They got to make sure that that's as accurate as possible. And that they don't put anything behind the expansion pack. God, that's still such a bad thing that they did. But if they can do it just, and I don't expect these super big, super big changes. Like, adding more battle modes, I think would be fun. That feels like a natural progression, especially with the growth of, you know, of multiplayer over the however many years since basically the launch of Nintendo's, or since Mario Kart 8 originally on the Wii U. There are things that they can very easily do to make it special, but whether they do or not, it's on them. I do think we're definitely, especially in light of what happened with Deluxe, with Animal Crossing and Splatoon and Zelda F-Zero to a lesser extent, we'll definitely get a few more crossover characters just for the fun of it. Why not? It doesn't hurt the game. So, you know, go bigger. Like Tyler said, make the courses even more intricate. Have more battle modes. Have a few surprises, you know. If you can expand on anti-grav in a way that's meaningful, fun, and yet, you know, as... Because the best part about anti-grav is that you didn't need to do anything. You didn't have to press a button to go, oh, anti-grav! No, it just did it naturally, and that made it fun. So, if you could do something like that, then go for it. And, of course, release it this year.
If they can release this year.
Yeah, yes. If they can release this year. So... I don't know. It's just there are so many things that they could do. It's hard to predict, and especially with this quote report saying, "Oh, it's a big twist." That could mean literally anything. Okay, the big twist could be that they have a character that we never would have thought of having in the game before being in the game. They have like this new kind of card that's unique only to them. Okay. Is that worthy enough of being called a new twist? I don't know, but you know, never forget Nintendo's big surprise of one E3 was Wii Music. So never forget.
Or, I don't know, like, we'll, instead of for Mario Kart 9, we're going to bring in human players into this game. It's like, okay.
Wait, are Miis in Mario Kart?
I mean, yes, Miis are technically our avatars, yeah, but I think maybe put in, like, officially human-sized characters would be the biggest twist or the biggest, I don't know, downgrade. I don't know, it feels like that, yeah, yeah. Well, it would be something if they decide to do it that route.
Yeah, so, as with all of our other rumor reports, you know, take it with a grain of salt. It's not true until Nintendo says something, and we'll just have to hope for the best and fear the worst. And if nothing else, we got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. So, and I still mean it about challenging you guys this weekend if you're free. Like it's been 84 years since we played with one another. So
yeah, definitely get sketchy all the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm down to give you guys a smoke for sure.
Oh, please.
Oh, Tyler. You can't handle this smoke. All right, anyway, so with that, with smoke? Yes, yeah. with lots of smoke, we end this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler, smoker.
No poll question last week. We'll roll on this week. I think we're going to take the week off of poll questions as well. Does that sound good to you guys?
Unless you want to do one about Mario Kart.
We did have a poll question last week.
I had a feeling you were lying.
I actually did post it. If you're a first-time listener, it's because I half the time forget to put up a poll question. But that does not mean you should not go vote when we do post them.
Uh-huh.
Last week we asked you what you would most like to see from Nintendo in 2022. And not surprisingly, we took this from our Nintendo drafts. Will's first round pick of no Nintendo NFTs blew the competition out with 47% and stealing a vote from me. I voted for Will's choice instead of my own. 13% for the Native Kingdom Hearts port. That was our good friend Skull Kid Scott's pick.
Yep.
Two Game of the Year nominees was my pick. That got 13% as well. And Revitalized Legacy IP received 27% of the vote.
Yeah! Oh, and Will, I kind of want to rub this wound in for you. When G4's X-Play was talking about the Mario Kart twist, they did a poll, a live poll, and one of the options was NFTs for the big twist, and it almost won. thankfully, it did not, but it came in second place, and I'm like, oh, if it wins, Will's going to go nuts.
Yeah,
but it was hilarious because this was after you did the Nintendo draft, and I'm just like, what are the odds that they also thought of NFTs for Nintendo?
The reason that is it recently what popped up recently is because like Kirby's going to be celebrating its 30th year anniversary, and wait, 30th year anniversary? Look at Konami, don't you dare Nintendo!
Yeah, so. Well, again, there as of yet, there are no NFTs announced for anything, so you are free and clear for now. And as for this week's poll question, let's do what would you most like to see in Mario Kart 9? A, more intricate courses, or however you want to word that, Tyler. More B, more unique battle modes. C, more crossover characters. D, new rate. Oh, double dash return. There you go. D for double dash. I mean, I guess I can understand why you guys like that game. It's just, I think it's because I played it so little compared to all of you guys. Even some of the G4 hosts were like, "Oh, double dash forever." I'm like, really? Like Mario Kart 7 was my jam. I loved that one. I got to play as Rob.
That one is fun. That was Mario Kart DS, I think.
Yeah, it was.
The DS one. Yeah.
Mario Kart 7 was DS, and I was just like, I got to play as Rob.
No, Mario Kart 7 was 3DS, but Mario Kart DS is the one with Rob.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to check that out.
That one was great, though.
Anyway, but yeah, the one with Rob, because I put Rob in the Yoshi's eggshell, and I was like super fast. It was awesome. Anyway. So, yeah, and then, of course, let us know what you would like to see in Mario Kart 9, should it come out this year or next. And let us know what you thought of all the Pokemon news, Kirby trailer and release date, Nintendo Switch sales, all of the rumors, and more. So, for Tellius, Tyler, and Warrior Will, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag!